It's one of those mornings, you know, I'm just going to have to follow him through. Here we go. I've got a few things. Open up to James chapter 5. While you're turning there, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm sure none of you have ever heard this. I'm probably the only one the devil's ever accused of this. You know, you pray, you fast, you get in the Word, you do things, you know. Then you hear this. You're getting worse and not better. Okay, I got a witness back. At least me and Hans, hallelujah. Yeah, you're getting worse. This isn't working. And those same devils, you know, that Dave heard years ago, they're still circulating with the same thing. This isn't working. All this prayer, all this fasting, you know. Just look around. I mean, that's the devil's ploy always. Go by what you see, not by what the Word says. And so, of all places, I'm not teaching on healing, really, as far as I know today, but of all places, James chapter 5 and verse 14. I remember the first time got to remember, I was raised in a very denominational church, and we always had a lot of sick, you know, sick people there, you know. And the prayer there was, oh, yes, Lord, we pray for brother so-and-so, that you'd heal him, quote, if it be thy will. Okay, you know. Okay. And I never once in all those churches ever saw anybody get healed, to be honest with you. They might have got healed by a doctor's care, but I never saw one devil cast out. I never saw anybody get healed. I never saw any power of God. Till I got around them crazy tongue talkers, you know. That's when I started finding out about power, you know. But here's the verse. It's verse 14. Is any sick among you? When I first read that in the Bible after I got saved, I thought it was a joke. I really did, because the church I grew up in, there was always so many sick people, I thought he's got to be kidding. But see, in the first century, it was not common, if you're a Christian, to be sick. I mean, he's serious. Is there any sick among you? Like, you know, shouldn't be, is there? Well, if there is, he has a remedy here. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, and I notice, in the name. That's really what we're going to talk about today. In the name of the Lord. Now notice, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, if it's the Lord's will. What? Oh, I'm sorry, I reverted back to the old Bible there just a minute. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. It's not you. The Lord shall raise him up. Yeah, but, here comes your yabbits. Anybody, I've been attacked by whole herds of yabbits in my life, you know. Yabbits on every side. Yabbit, yabbit, yabbit. Yeah, but what about if he's committed sin? Well, he eliminated that one. If he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Go and sin no more. Now see, Alan just made a horrible accusation against me years ago, many years ago, and I still love the guy. He actually accused me of being a hundredfold preacher. Now, what I don't mean the prosperity hundredfold. I mean that this verse means exactly what it says. And that's exactly the mark that we're going to strive for. And we're not going to lower the bar one inch. And I mean the day's coming and coming soon. Because if I go by what I see, we the elders and everybody else, I think we anointed B's sister Helena to the point she was dripping oil, going out of the church here, you know. She fought a courageous fight against a disease with all of our best efforts. Helena's in heaven now. Mary Corbett, remember Mary? Our friend Rudy. I could go on and on. See. You're getting worse, you know, the enemy says. You know, you're not getting better. This isn't working. Well, let me just tell you, it's not working anywhere. I don't know anywhere on earth other than by the gifts, and they can happen anywhere. I don't know any church anywhere. And again, I'll just go to our default, our Victoria. Our Victoria, born to members of this church, with a birth defect. She's born with a partial brain. She's got enough of a brain to operate her lungs and, you know, keep her bodily functions going, you know, but she can't really learn. She can't speak. Can't tie her shoes, I don't think. She's in her, I don't know how old she is now, 20s at least. See, I don't know anywhere on earth, medical or religious, medical or spiritual. I don't know anywhere on earth where we can take Victoria. And I know all things are possible, again, by the gifts. Now, you might get a gift that way. But I mean, where we can take a number, get an appointment, go to this church or go to this hospital, and know for sure that when they get through with her, we're bringing her back with a completed brain. But see, I know that if Jesus was still on planet Earth and had his shop, his ministry located in Jerusalem, say, and my number, if I try and get an appointment for my Venus and her husband to take names when I do the Victoria. my number, you know, might be three, number 33,469, and I can't get in on that appointment for 2.5 years. I'll wait. Because one thing I know for sure, when Jesus gets through with her, won't even be an issue. Won't be a problem. We're bringing Victoria back home. Now, we're not going to lower that standard. We're just not going to do it. This is the gospel. Nothing else is. Thank you, Alan, for accusing me. I wear it like a badge of honor. Gary, are you walking there? Obviously, I'm not walking there. But I am pressing towards that mark. I am pressing towards that mark now. On my journey, which has been quite a while. Quite a while. The flesh has resisted everything along the way. I remember the first time. I mean, here Dave would talk about praying for 8 hours, 10 hours at a time, you know. And Sue and I, we couldn't make it through a service without a cigarette. Pray an hour? I can't even make it 20 minutes. Sometimes we'd have to take 3 breaks. You know, we'd sneak out. Everybody, we'd go out, walk down here, walk just past the little crest of the hill there. Puff, 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 you know. Okay, let's go back in, okay. And all the way back, Sue's for breezing me. You know, it's a little, you know, I said, baby, they could smell it anyway. I don't care. Pachoo, pachoo. She's pachooing me with that Febreze. I got Febreze dripping out my ear, you know. 20 minutes later, we might go again. See? And you talk about the flesh. I'm trying to pray 15 minutes, you know. Well, resistance, but you break through that. Break through that, see. Now, getting in the Word never was, that one just never was so hard for me. I think it's because I'm a visual person. I just am. Sue knows when I watch movies, it's dangerous to be near me. Because when the guy with the knife jumps out from behind the tree, I'm jumping too. I'm in that movie now. I'm telling you, I'm right here. If there's a fight scene, she's going, you know, I'm in it, you know. But the Word is like that to me. When I get in the Word, I just get transported. I mean, I am just there. You know, the Word was never hard. I may have had a little issue with fasting. No. No, that's been a hard one. I've done better last year than I've done this year, to be honest with you. I did last year, so, and I got to do better. But I'm mentioning all that to mention that presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, presence. This revival that we're pressing into shall be known, if the Lord tarries, in history as the presence revival. And the Lord has spoken about that himself many times through the prophecies that's come through Pastor Bronk, that his presence is going to come in such a way that we won't hardly be able to stand up. We won't be able to hardly exit the building. My glory is right. I'm looking forward to some of that. But I have found of all the things that the flesh has resisted me on, because Pastor Dave again, some people may think I reference Pastor Dave too much. No, I don't reference him enough. There you go. Man, him and Jesus and Sue saved my life. But I thank God for Pastor Dave. I still believe he's going to spearhead the charge into revival. He could walk through the door any minute. It'd be the greatest day of my life for him to just tap me on the shoulder and say, Gary, take a seat. I'll take it from here. That's a good day. That's not a bad day. But Pastor Dave, he really kind of warned us ahead of time. You know, he was pressing into that, what he called it, the room of love. You remember? And he would talk, he said, I have found that room, if there's such a thing as the room where God's love is, you're trying to press into there. He said, the way Dave would describe it, it's like there's a big bank vault door there, you know, the kind with the, you got the wheel, you got a turn, and the knob with the combination and levers. And he says, it's like there's a banner over it put there by the devil. He said that, I remember Dave saying time and again, he said that is the most heavily guarded door in all of the universe. And it's like there's a sign over it put there by the devil, at all costs, none may enter here. Because when you go in there, see, God is love. God is love. When you really go in there, you get saturated not only with the love of God, because you can't get saturated with the love of God without getting saturated by God. Because God is love. Hallelujah. I'm just glad it's not my phone this time. Sometimes it is, you know. Hallelujah. Well, I have found, because Dave would say, praying in tongues is a revelation gift, and it is. If you want revelation, what do? You read your word, you pray in tongues. He said, but presence, oh. He said, now worship is the presence gift. And I heard him teach it. I heard him teach it more than once. I've listened to those series again and again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And Gary, have you done it? Not really. But I've been pressing into it now, because there's no other options. If we're going to have a presence revival, and worship is the presence gift, and 2 + 2 still make 4, we must worship. Well, nothing has fought me harder, I'll be honest with you. And I said, be careful there. Resistance in every way, not just my flesh. Circumstances that'll just cut you off at the knees, you know. And the devil says, now look, where's your God now? See? Well, my God has not changed. The word has not changed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm not going to be like Adam in the garden, who had two voices, and like we all have two voices always. You have God's word, and you got the devil going, has God said? And Adam watched while Eve took that bite out of the apple. It says Adam was right there with her. He watched. And God had said, the day you eat the fruit thereof, you'll surely die. And Satan's voice was, you will not surely die. And Adam watched. And she ate apple. I don't know what it was. But she ate whatever it was. She ate of it. And she didn't fall down dead. And Adam's looking at her. Now, he couldn't see spiritually. He just looking physically. There she is, standing there, almost as pretty as Sue. Yeah. Standing there. Sue goes, oh. All right. There she is, all, you know. But what Adam chose to believe what he saw, which means he made God out a liar. I hate to be so blunt. But there's two voices. One voice says she'll die, and the other voice says she'll not die. And Adam had to render a verdict. He's the judge. We're all the judge, what we're going to believe. And he rendered a verdict in favor of what he saw. And there it is. Not believing God's word was the way out of the garden. It was the way out of all the blessings of God. That's why faith in God's word is the only way back in. And Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word made flesh. So as we're all journeying to go further into worship and into the presence of God, because we need to become carriers. See, the whole world right now is concerned about you being a carrier of COVID-19. I'm not worried about COVID-19, really. I'm not stupid either. Okay. But I'm not concerned about being a carrier of COVID. I want to be a carrier of God. And I mean his presence. And I mean so overflowing that I cannot walk into a room without splashing over on somebody. Well, he's been teaching us recently. We all are already walking in a certain presence of God. His name is the Holy Spirit. And we already, you know, Jesus said, I'm sending him to abide with you, live with you forever. And if you can talk in tongues, if you can pray in tongues, then you have the Holy Spirit present with you, because he is the one creating the language. You can't genuinely pray in tongues without having the presence of the Holy Spirit, because he's the one creating the syllables. He's creating the language. Dave has taught us how that passes from his spirit to your spirit, and you speak it out. But have you noticed that even though we have that presence, not every time we pray are we seeing the results? So there is a presence beyond what we've walked in, obviously. And again, I'm just following him again. Say, well, this is repetitive. I don't care. I just work here. My job is obedience. Now, I had a taste of that presence. The best taste Gary Carpenter has ever had of it was many years ago down in Houston. And it was really, if I remember right, it was a conference on finances, kingdom finances, not so much about healing. But somehow, and I just by a gift or something, I didn't do anything to make it happen. I don't know why it happened, but suddenly the presence of God came on me like I've never had since or before. And I was like a drunk man. My body couldn't handle it. I wasn't used to it. And I couldn't even stand up on my own. Two guys are holding me up. I can hardly talk. His presence, it was him. They would lift my hand. I mean, I'm like, I can't even, I'm not prophesying. I can't even talk. And somebody would take my hand and put it on somebody, and they'd go splat in the floor. And they'd have some kind of encounter with God. I mean, I'm just a vessel. Now he's told me since, do you think Jesus operated that way? And I went, I don't think so. Peter, John, hold me up. Jesus did not stagger around like a drunk man, see. We've got to come to where we can handle that level of presence as mature sons of and daughters of God, see. And much more presence than that. Okay. But see, that let me know I still have that experience, and I thank God for it, because I know that that's available. I know for sure I wasn't putting on. I know for sure it was real. I don't care what you think. I know. Now, how do we walk in that all the time, see? Well, these prophecies, again, going back to the blueprint for 2020 and the subsequent prophecies that have come since then, not all of them through Bronk, most of them through Bronk, but they all keep talking about the same thing. Spend time with me. Spend time in my presence. Spend time. Come away. How many times does he say in there, come away with me? Come away with me. Have you noticed? I'm looking around the room. The distractions that have come by every avenue. I'm looking around the room, and I'm not really trying to pick on anybody, but I can't help but know some of your circumstances. You know, everything from being laid off from your job to, physical ailments that have come to attack, problems with your kids, problem with your kids' marriages, problems with business, problems with this, problems with that. They're all distractions. And they're all designed to keep you from getting away alone with Him. I want you to look at it one more time. See, we can't make the same mistake that Adam made. We can't judge truth by what we see. That's the opposite of faith. The faith, the just shall live by faith and not by sight. Adam living by sight was the way out of the garden. And the only way back in, faith in the Word of God and not by sight. So let's look at the Word one more time before we go anywhere else. James chapter 5 verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, we're going to talk about the name here in the second half of this. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Say it with me. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's what the prayer of faith does. It saves the sick. And the Lord raises him up. Or the Lord raises her up. And even if they've committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Say it with me. The prayer of faith saves the sick. Now that's the bar. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus paid for, and that's exactly what we're going to have. Amen? But notice it says, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now you can be turning to Philippians 2. I've been teaching some other classes by Zoom and by Skype, other parts of the world. And some of them are a little more basic, you know, like I've been teaching one group about just the fundamentals of faith, things that you probably learned many years ago. Like here's some of the topics, you know, whether you need faith in the blood of Jesus. You need to be taught about the blood, have faith in the blood, right? You got to have faith in your prayers. You got to have, like Mark 11, 23, 24. You got to have faith that what you say will come to pass. There's a lot of things to teach about faith, okay? But one of them was you got to have faith in the name of Jesus. So I went to this very passage and that we're going to read here, Philippians 2. And I taught the standard lesson that I've taught many times. I've taught it here. I've taught it all around the world. Faith in the name of Jesus. Don't you need to have faith in the name? I mean, they were praying over the guy in James 5 in the name. But if you don't have faith in the name, it doesn't do any good to pray in the name. So I taught the standard message. I'm just going to read the verses here. And I thought I was done. I was going to move on to the next topic next week. And the Lord says, I want you to teach it higher. I didn't know what that meant. Okay. What is higher? So let's just read the passage here so you know what I'm talking about. And we'll start in the familiar place. Verse 5. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now let's stop for a moment. Where is that? That's talking about before he became a man, because the next few verses talk about him becoming a man. So it's talking about John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were created by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made, and so forth, right? So in the beginning, He didn't think it robbery to be co-equal with God. We got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Dave would say if you saw them somehow standing facing each other, they would be breastplate to breastplate, nose to nose, eyeball to eyeball. They're not diminished. They're all three God. They're all one, but they're three. And I like to add, if you think about that too much, your brain starts leaking right out your left ear. But it's true, isn't it? You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, one God, three ways. Okay. We have to just take, we believe your word. That's what your word says. But in that form, of course, he didn't think it robbery to be equal with God. He is God. But notice, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now let's stop for a moment. What level of humbling is that? The beginning of last year, to another man, the Lord said to me, Gary, and almost Alan was, emotions were getting to him, because when you really have encounters with God, it stays with you for a lifetime. Another man said this to me, but it was God saying it to me. Humble yourself, talking to Gary. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself until you can't humble yourself anymore. And then humble yourself some more. And it wasn't until I really meditated and thought on that and was seeking the Lord how to do that more that this verse really, the magnitude of it began to hit me. Dear Lord, our Lord Jesus, you talk about humbling himself. To go from the highest place, I used to say in the universe, but the universe is a created thing. To go from the highest place there is, wherever that is, there may be universes under there. I don't know. To go from there, and because it's the will of the Father, to humble himself to become a man, and to come to this place where there's poverty and sin and sickness and death and storms and fires, and that's a level of humbling that way more than I've ever done. And then after he's here, now he's humbled himself to become a man, and I mean a man, not a God man. He's a man. Don't get me wrong. I know he's God, but he humbled himself. You read it here yourself. He was made in the likeness of men, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. So he's humbling himself even more. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And see, we know from another verse that he never committed sin, not a single sin. I can't imagine a child that never tells a lie. I can't imagine a child that never says no when you tell him to clean their room. Can't imagine that, really. No wonder Mary said, whatever he says to you, do it. I bet he was a different kind of child, you know. So when it says that he became obedient unto death, it was forever before it dawned on me, that's not just talking about the cross. He had flesh like we have. He had fallen flesh. He didn't even have the same thing Adam had. Adam had flesh that had never sinned. Do you ever think about that? But Jesus, his spirit came from God, but his flesh came from Mary, which goes back to Adam. Right? So his flesh had the motions of sin working in it. And it says plainly he was tempted in all points just like we are. Yet without sin. So how often did he have to die to his flesh? Every day. So when it says obedient unto death, comma, then even the death of the cross, it's talking about that death of the cross wasn't the first day he died. He died every day to his flesh. Talk about humble. Red, I don't have that testimony. Do you have that testimony? I don't have it. I only have it in him. because he substituted for me. But anyway, we're getting to the name now, see. But because Jesus did that, because he became a man, and then because he humbled himself, not just to the cross, but he humbled himself every day. Flesh, you're not getting your way. Not one single time. Not one sin. If he ever committed one sin, he's disqualified from being the spotless lamb. Can't imagine the obedience. We have a mighty Savior. We have a mighty Savior. Someone who loves us more than we love anything. What a life that he lived. And he did it all for us. But because he was obedient to do that, look at verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Why? That at the name of Jesus. What did they pray in James 5? How did they do it? They anointed him with oil. In the name of the Lord. This name. That when there's really faith in this name, every knee has to bow. And if it has a name, it has to bow. Cancer has a name. It has to bow. Septus has a name. It has to bow. Strokes have a name. It has to bow. Back problems have a name. Has to bow. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Now see, these things at this level, I've taught this before. This is not new to you, is it? It's a good refresher, but it's not new. But at the name of Jesus, I got underlined in mine. Every knee should bow. Now notice, of things in heaven, we're not there yet. But of things in earth, that's where we are. And even things under the earth. That's where demons, I think, sometimes live. I don't know. Lazarus was under the earth. When Jesus called him forth, death had to bow. You ever think about that? And then verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, I've taught that, and I've taught it almost identically to the way I just taught it now, and it's always good. It's a good refresher. But the Lord said, teach it higher. I said, what? And the verse he gave me, and I don't, again, I'm not allowed to prepare the way I used to exactly. I write a lot of lessons at home that I don't get to bring them. See, it talks about in Hebrews. I'm sorry, just a minute. It's taking me just a moment. Yes, sir. See, it talks about in Hebrews about him being seated at the right hand of God until his enemies be made his footstool. So he's been having me do some study about his enemies. Well, his number one enemy, we would say, would be Satan. But see, we do that, and we almost unconsciously, without meaning to do it, we fall into a mindset that somehow it's Jesus opposed to Satan. Or Satan opposed to Jesus. Almost like they're on an equal plane. And see, that's just not true at all. And that's what he's trying to get across to me and then trying to get across to you. Listen. At Satan's highest point, his name was Lucifer. He was the covering angel, the angel that covereth. Many, because of that word, arch, many say he was an archangel. I don't know. I wasn't there. But that's the highest category of angels that we know about, is archangels, I think. I'm not an expert on that. But if Lucifer was an archangel, let's just go with that. Well, he would be in the same class as Michael or Gabriel, right? And there might be other ones, but that's, I know about those two that are archangels. That's the class of being that he is. And at his highest, before he ever fell out of heaven. Now, God made him wondrously. He was filled with pipes and whatever. They say he led worship in heaven, the music that would come out of him. And he was very beautiful or handsome, however you want to put it. But see, it says that he got lifted up in pride because of his beauty. And when you really think about it, where is Jesus now? He is back on the throne. He is back where he started from. But his form is altered forever. He was the Word before. But now he was God before, right? But now he is the God-man. He is still God. But he is man. If you want to see Jesus now, you don't really look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You look in Revelations when he appeared to John. Now, John knew Jesus really well, didn't he? And John was the one that would lean on Jesus' chest at supper. You know, John said about himself, I'm the one that Jesus loves. I'm going to have to talk to John about that. What did the other disciples think about that? You know, yeah, there's Peter, but I'm the one that he loves right here. Anyway, but wouldn't you say John knew Jesus pretty well? But when he sees Jesus as he is now, you read about it in Revelations. It says, John fell at his feet as one dead. This Jesus, this name, this person, this our God, our Lord Jesus, he is so far above. Even if Lucifer was still there, how many think Jesus is far above Michael? Far above Gabriel. These are created beings. I mean, when I think about this, can I say, is it stupidity of Lucifer? A created angel? Somehow pride gets into him. He thinks he's going to be God. He's going to exalt himself above God. That'd be like your dog telling you, get out. That's my car now. I'm going to drive it. That's a whole different class of thing. There's God and then there's everything God creates. They're not in the same class. And the point of this lesson, our Lord is not in the same class as this enemy called Satan. I mean, he is far above. And his name is far above. We've got to start understanding the true gospel. And it says, we are seated with him in heavenly places. Shandai Mahandai. Tie my bow tie. Go to Ephesians. I used to say it should have bought a Hyundai, but it bought a Hyundai. But then I bought a Hyundai. Well, no, I bought a Kia. But anyway. Pray for me. Pray for me. I love my Kia, by the way. All right. I think Alan referenced this passage this morning, this prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians and really for the whole church. But I'm just going to come to the last part of it. Verse 19. Verse 18. I'm going to do the whole thing. Okay. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, yes, sir, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, we need this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. It's according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Here it is. Far above. Far above. Our Lord is in the God class, not the angel class. Our Lord is in the Creator class, not in the created class. I mean, if Lucifer had never fell, Jesus would be far above Lucifer. And Lucifer got kicked out of heaven. I can't believe he talked a third of the angels into thinking we can drive the car. pack of dogs. Hey, let's join together. We'll take over. We'll drive the car. It's two different classes of beings here. Okay? Well, there's two different classes going on here. But somehow Lucifer, that deceiver's a good name for him, he convinced a third of the angels, we're going to whoop God. Well, they got a whooping. And the first cut, the first diminishing of his power, they got kicked out of heaven. Got thrown out. Lucifer and a third of the angels. I heard Norval Hayes one. I just love Norval, okay? I'm sure Alan's heard this. Norval said, there's a trap door in heaven. Of course, what? Oh, yeah, there's a trap door in heaven. And when Satan got too uppity, God just opened the trap door and let Satan fall right out. He said, if you don't get right, he might let you fall out too. But anyway, that's normal. But it is true that Satan and a third of the angels got kicked out. So next time we see him is in the garden where he's coming up in some kind of form like a serpent that talks. Anyway, he's still the deceiver, isn't he? This time, see, God gave dominion to man. But this time, the Satan comes and he doesn't approach Adam, he approaches Eve. And says she was deceived. Okay, that sin really is not laid at her door, at her feet. She was deceived, but see, Adam was not. Adam made a calculated, cold, hard decision based on his five physical senses. He knew what God had said, and he knew what the devil had said. God said, in the day you eat the fruit thereof, you'll surely die, and the devil said, you will not surely die. And then he's watching Eve as she eats the fruit. And his five physical senses tell him, there she is. She didn't fall down dead. Beautiful as ever. Smells good, looks good. Now he's got a choice. Somebody's lying. And I hate to be this rough on Adam, but it's the truth anyway. See, because if one's telling the truth, why does that make the other? He made a decision on the inside. To choose by sight. He chose what his five physical senses told him. Which means he sided with the devil. You shall not surely die. Which means, God, you're a liar. I taught a message last year called The High Treason of Adam. I'm going to go into that in more depth. But, well, again, I'm going to say it. That's why the just shall live by faith and not by sight. You cannot judge by what you see. That is the opposite of faith. The just shall live by faith and not by sight. I don't care what's going on. I don't care that this carpet was wore out when Sue and I started here a quarter century ago. And it's more wore out now than it was then. I'm not being moved by that. I'm not being moved that the building is getting more slopety than it was. I'm not moved by the crowd being so much less than it was. I don't like it, but I'm not moved by it. I know what God has said to us in His Word and by His Spirit, and I choose to believe that no matter what my five physical senses tell me. By His stripes I was healed. Tulsa is in revival. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. We're about to enter the greatest revival that mankind has ever seen. And I believe that with all my heart. Back to the name, though. I want to make sure we get this. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. So we haven't really understood it yet. We keep thinking somehow, because on our level where we live, it seems like a lot of times the enemy's even winning. We pray and they still die. And so it conditions us to think that there's an equal level warfare going on here between Satan and Jesus. But it's not really. That kind of thinking is part of our defeat. And that's what he's trying to change today. When he says that the name of Jesus, we have got to understand. This is part of why the prayer of faith works. James chapter 5 again. When they anoint with oil and pray. Let's go look at it again. Let's go back to it. It's verse 14. Is any sick among you? Yeah, sometimes. Well, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. Now notice, all of that is done in the name of the Lord. Does that mean more to you now than at the beginning of this service? See, the prayer of faith, when we pray it, we got to know. When we're using that name, this isn't an equal. This is not fair to the devil. Because when we use the name, it's over. See, that is really the truth. That is the truth we have to walk in. That's the prayer of faith and nothing else is. When we use the name, it is far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion. Yeah, but I prayed in the name and they died. Come away with me, my beloved. I have many things to teach you. I have many things to instruct you. Come away with me, my beloved. Spend time with me, that when you go, it's not just in my name, but you've got my presence to back up my name. See, when we send ambassadors from the United States to another country, when they speak in the name of the United States of America, and they're really doing it in the name, all the resources of this nation is available to back up what they say. I mean, the Air Force, the Marines, the Navy, the wealth, everything that we have will back up what they say. And he's trying to get us to understand, when we use the name of Jesus, all the resources of God, everything is available to us to back up what we say. No wonder he told us, if you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that what you say will come to pass, you will have what you say. Now it's real easy to preach the truth. It's real easy to preach faith and walk by sight. When I leave here, most of you know I fight a battle. I've been fighting a battle in my back. I could give all kinds of reasons why. And none of those amount to a hill of beans. Because the truth is, by his stripes I was healed. That's the truth. I mean, it's easy for me just to, okay, I preached a good message, let's go have lunch. And by the time I get home even, forgot. Just living by sight again. Living by the pain again. Existing like most Christians. And someday it'll be over. Remember Dad Hagen when he was fighting all that on the bed of affliction? Baptist boy on the bed of affliction. If the heart disease wouldn't have killed me, the blood disease would have. I mean, I used to be able to rattle that off just verbatim. And at the time, his mother was trying to get Parson so-and-so to come pray for him. And Dad Hagen says, thank God he never came. Because he found out later how the man would pray in a situation like that. Oh, just be patient, my boy. It'll all be over soon and you'll be with the Lord. He said, thank God he never came. See? Well, that's the opposite of the prayer of faith, isn't it? But I thought, I mean, say it with me. I have faith in the name of Jesus. I have been commissioned by the Lord himself to go forth and preach in his name. I have been commissioned by the Lord himself to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I have been commissioned by the Lord himself to cast out devils. And I have been commissioned by the Lord himself to come away with him, to spend time with him, to be in his presence. So when I do go forth, he goes with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that takes us back to the type and shadow of Moses. All the way back there when they made the golden calf and they were rebelling. And God says, well, based on what I'm seeing, I'm not going to go with you. I promised Abraham to give you the promised land and I'm going to give it to you. But I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to send you my angel. He'll go with you. Because if I go with you, I'll have to, he didn't say it exactly like this, but if I go with you, I'm going to have to kill you. That's what he's saying. That's really what he's saying. Because they were so sinful, they were so fleshly, he says, I can't go with you. And Moses, thank God for Moses, he made, you know, God was going to wipe them all out. And he says, I'll just wipe them all out. I'll make another nation out of it, starting with you. Thank God Moses knew how to pray, and that's not the story today. But see, Moses, that wasn't good enough. The gospel that we've had to this point, that's wrong. The gospel that we have demonstrated to this point is not good enough. It's just not good enough. I'm not saying it's not true. It's just not good enough. Because it's not filled with his presence. See, because Moses said, listen, if you're not going to go with us, don't send us. If you're not going to go with us, don't send us. And he persuaded God. He said, okay, I'm going to go with you. Well, that's right where we are. It's no longer acceptable to just teach things. It's no longer acceptable to know the truth. The world is dying out there. They need a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. They need to see that fruit, the evidence of the living Christ, that his name truly is far above every name that is named. And when we go forth to minister, he goes with us in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Hallelujah. So I don't know about you. I'm not going to slack up on prayer, although the temptation has been... When you get a real gut shot by circumstances, you can tell from the natural reaction what the purpose of the gut shot was. Take you out of prayer. Don't really want to be with you. You know, worship was a little too long this morning. Whatever. You know. So if you can tell that's what the enemy's trying to accomplish, just do the opposite. Yeah. I'll finish with this, I think. It's because I saw the vision again. Thank God for Pastor Dave. See, you set yourself to go into the presence of God, did you? You're going to be the one that enters that room of love. You're the one that's going to come out with that presence, right? Well, the enemy saw that. So the enemy attacked your house and all these boulders came rolling down the hill. Smashed your house, rolled over your car, killed your dog and your cat. Crushed your body. Every bone in your body was broken. The only thing still working is your left earlobe. And somebody sees they're driving down Union Avenue and they see you, crushed body and all, and you're laying on the ground, but your left earlobe is working and it's dragging you along Union Street. Somebody says, don't you see your house? Don't you see your car? Don't you see your, look at your body. It's all broke up and full of pain. What are you doing? Where are you going? I'm going to prayer. We all thought that was funny. Didn't realize how true it is. Sometimes, I mean, you may feel like the only thing left working is my left earlobe. Get yourself down here to prayer. Get yourself back into worship. Get yourself back into the Word and push away from the table once in a while. Throw in some fasting. Hallelujah. Father, I think I feel that release now. You told me when we're done now in this season. And I feel it, so. God's doing a new thing, and I know He is because He told me so. He's drawing people around the world to these videos, and there's somebody, maybe there's more than one watching right now. I'm not even sure why you're watching. Because you need to be born again. You're hearing these things and you're going, I'm not even sure I'm saved. Well, you can know and know for sure because the Bible says that salvation comes with great assurance. And you can know you're saved. So real quickly, Jesus, the Son of God, became a man. He lived a sinless life. He is the spotless Lamb of God. And He who was totally innocent died on the cross as payment for your sin. If you'll receive Him, you'll not only be forgiven, He will come into your heart. And from the inside out, He makes you into a new person. And He'll set you free from sin. He'll set you free from addiction. He'll set you free from anything that the devil's done. So we're all going to join in right now and pray this prayer with you because it's not going to hurt us. Just join with me and say, Father, I believe Your gospel. I believe Jesus is Your Son. That He died on the cross for me. Forgive me, Lord, of all my sins. Wash them away with the blood of Jesus. And Jesus, I believe You've been raised from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord. Make me brand new. Make me something new. And Lord, with all of my heart, I'll serve You the rest of my life. You're not only my Savior. Jesus, You are my Lord. And whatever You say, that's what I do. Listen, you're born again now. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Now listen, you need to read the Word of God. You need to listen to that. There's a new sheriff in town. He come in right there during that prayer. You're going to hear promptings from the inside, and He's going to set you free from sin as you obey that. Then you can ask Him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, we're going to pray that for you too right now. Because Jesus said, you shall receive power after you've received the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist said, the one coming after me, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So pray this with us. Let's all start. We can use a fresh filling, can't we? Say, Father, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Jesus, baptize me with the Holy Ghost and with fire, Lord. Purge everything out of my life that's not of You. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. And I expect to speak with tongues as the Spirit gives me utterance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now listen, there's a healing wave. I just see it. I see it like a tsunami. Not only in this room, but right where you are. If you'll just lift up your hand. I'm not trying to manipulate you, but just an act of faith. Just say, Father, I receive. I receive right now all of Your goodness. All of Your healing. Thank You for healing me, Father. By the stripes of Jesus. In His name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.